Greetings, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. I'm delighted to see you all here. And we'll go ahead and get started. So this is Will Tuttle, and it's 5 o'clock here in California on the 6th of November, 2025. Bless you all. I'm just delighted to see you. And we don't have Lisa with us today, so I'll be doing the be my own assistant here, which is fine. So those of you who are new, this looks like a few new folks. So what we do on the first Thursday, we have a guided or somewhat semi-guided meditation here at the beginning, and then we open it up for any discussion. The maximum we go is about an hour, and it's focusing on the spiritual dimension of our path as vegans in the world. So everybody should be if you're not familiar, but now you can be. It's pretty simple. And this is the last one we'll have for the first Thursday here in California. So I actually have the piano. I'm sitting in our living room. So from now on, it will be we'll be out on the road. I won't have the piano. But on the third Thursday, for those of you, only those of you who are members of the circle, our private meeting, that will be the day before we leave. We leave on Friday the 21st in the morning and go down and have a lecture at the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose. And then we begin our five-month cross-country tour the next day. And so that will be happening here. And then after that, we'll be on the road until we get back in April. Okay, so I'll go ahead and just invite everyone to let's turn our attention within for the meditation time that we have together, and then we can open up for any questions or comments or anything that you may be having. So here we go. We begin. Okay, so let's become aware of our breathing. Every exhalation, we allow ourselves to let go of any thoughts of the past or the future and enter more deeply into this present moment where we abide always in peace and harmony, in unity with the infinite love that is the source of our life, the source of all life, the only holy moment is right now. And we send our deep feelings of gratitude into every cell of our being, giving thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth and the opportunity to grow every day in wisdom and compassion to contribute to the awakening of humanity, to rescue animals and ecosystems from delusion, and we give thanks for everyone on this call. Know that each and every one of us had a beautiful story that brought us to this moment here together, sharing. In the space of love and abundance, kindness and radiant health, of freedom and harmony, that not reflect our true nature. And we know that the light that shines at the heart of the universe is shining in our heart, shining in every cell of our being, bringing harmony and abundance and healing and joy and freedom to every aspect of our inner life and outer life, to all of our affairs, poised in the understanding that what we are was never born and will never die, that what we are is a manifestation of the infinite creative power. That gives rise to all manifestations in all dimensions of being. We now send our love and appreciation to everyone in the human world who is or has or will be contributing to the liberation of animals and human beings from the delusions of exploitation and abuse. We send our love to all of our brothers and sisters and the wonderful efforts that are being made right now in every moment to celebrate the beauty of this earth and to awaken out of the delusion of separation, that one life lives through us all. And we send our love especially also now to all of the beings we refer to as animals, especially the ones who are in some kind of captivity or pain because of human interference. We send them our love and our compassion, empathy, and we see all of these places emptying, the slaughterhouses gone, all forms of animal abuse evaporating back into the nothingness. And we send our love to all living beings, all the animals celebrating their lives on this beautiful earth, all the nature spirits and devas, the whole web of life, all the ecosystems, knowing that every moment of every day there's a great tide of compassion and wisdom that is always rising in humanity's consciousness, that we may teach our children the ways of truth and kindness. And we give thanks that we can be part of this, for this beautiful incarnation that we are blessed to receive here. And so we connect now with the four dimensions of our true home, the four aspects of being that are eternal and infinite, that shine through every expression of life. The first is Maitri, which is love and kindness, goodwill. So with every inhalation, we engender in our heart this feeling of loving kindness. And with every exhalation, we allow this to flow forth into the infinite web of relations, touching and radiating to every living being of the past, present, and future, sending love to all living beings, excluding no one. Breathing and radiating love in all directions, and sending love now also, especially to ourself, the unique and beautiful being that we are. Abiding in our true home of love for all living beings. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion, the great yearning to act, to help relieve the suffering of others. And so with every exhalation, we radiate this compassion out into all dimensions, knowing that, as we say every week, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Breathing and radiating compassion, may all beings be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering. Abiding in our heart of compassion for all living beings. With every inhalation now, we engender in our heart the feeling of joy, the great joy that needs no reasons or causes in the outer world, the joy of our own mind and awareness, the joy that we feel as we behold the joy of others, the freedom of being that is always flowing through all manifestations of life. Abiding in our true home of joy, and this feeling and seeing that with every exhalation, this joy overflows from our heart and radiates out into the infinite web of relations as a blessing to all living beings. May all beings be filled with the truth of joy, the joy of being. And now finally we come to the fourth of our true homes, which is peace and harmony. So with every inhalation, we allow this feeling of peace and harmony of serenity to fill up our heart and flow forth out of our heart in all directions like an ever expanding sphere of light, bringing peace into every relationship, to all living beings in the universe. Seeing the whole earth now bathe in the beautiful light of peace and harmony, of beauty and freedom, of understanding and loving kindness, abiding in our true home of peace, breathing and radiating love, breathing and radiating compassion, breathing and radiating joy, breathing and radiating peace. Abiding in our true home. Love, compassion, joy, peace. And giving thanks, knowing that as every day that goes by, our consciousness is ripening to be more fully capable of being the light of the world. Through the power and presence of the Infinite Spirit, give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm delighted to see you all here, and we have now the part two of our time together this evening. From wherever you are, I see people from far away, Australia and Hawaii, the islands, and Canada, my goodness, all around, so much love to all of you. Does anyone have anything you would like to specifically address? This happened in the last several weeks or few days or whatever it is. Any questions or comments or concerns or joys or anything in particular? We're in a big time here, lots of changes happening all the time. And we get very involved, I'm sure, with the political issues of the day and also the concerns of our own life, our challenges that we all have, whatever it is, career or health or relationships, and all opportunities for growth. And it's easy, I think, to lose track of the underlying spiritual teachings that really are the foundation for what we call veganism, because it's as we know, it's ahimsa, non-harmfulness, but that comes from a deeper wellspring of awareness, which is, as I said during the meditation, that we are all related. We're all interconnected. One life is living through us. And so we're raised in a society where we're taught the opposite of that. We need to compete and use each other as instruments to get what we want and keep away what we don't want. And so our relations are very often poisoned by that. And of course, animals who have very little protection in terms of being able to sue or fight back. They bear the full fury, unfortunately, of our cultural programming of the herding culture. So it's good to come together like this and remind each other of the basic fact that not only are we part of the awakening just by being willing to never purchase or pay other people to exploit animals, so just do our best not to do that. But also, I think what goes along with that is the practice, the inner practices, so that we are embodying what veganism is, which is kindness and respect for all living beings, animals, human beings, future generations. And it means also, I think, questioning official narratives, and so making ourselves uncomfortable, making other people uncomfortable, that can be part of it. We don't do it in a way to be right or dominate, but just because we're called to do the best we can to connect with the truth. And then to be expressors, that's a good word, expressors of the truth. And when we do that, we sometimes incur the rile. I think there was, what did he say? It was George Orwell said in 1984, nothing will incur more rage in the age of tyranny than telling the truth. So that's the situation we're in. And veganism is the truth. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the underlying truth, that we can thrive and celebrate our lives without imprisoning animals. And I know we all are experiencing that and experimenting with that and doing our best to validate that. And but beyond that, to question the medical craziness and the all the other stuff. And I have some good news, actually, just to report that just happened a couple of days ago, which kind of relates to this, which is that after quite a few years of being banned from the San Francisco Vegan Fest, I was welcomed back with a lot of warm and loving hugs and embraces by everybody there, it seemed like. I mean, Madeline and I both, it was this past Saturday, and there's been a change of leadership in the San Francisco Vegan Society, and it's one of the oldest ones. It was San Francisco Vegetarian Society for years and run by Dixie May, and then she finally retired. And then this fellow, Greg Rohrbach, took over for a few years, and that was before COVID. And then someone else took over, a woman named, Christy, I think, took over, and she really got upset that I was questioning the vaccines and the trans thing, and so they made a policy never to let me speak there. But apparently she's definitely gone. There's rumors. I'm not sure if it's true that she was doing something she wasn't supposed to do financially. So anyway, she's gone. And Greg, who moved away to Wisconsin, moved back to San Francisco. So he invited me to come back and speak, and we did. And it was really fantastic. The veg, to me, you know, the COVID has been really terrible for the vegan movement in a lot of ways. I mean, the vegan restaurants are kind of, a lot of them are wiped out. A lot of the veg fests never even survived. They're still not even happening. Or if they are, they're just limping along. And that's how it's been with the San Francisco Veg Fest. I haven't been there because I've been banned, but friends that I know, they say, oh, there's very few people going, pretty small. So Greg just opened it up and did quite a bit of promotion, and there were so many people there. There was over 2,000 people. I mean, it was packed with people. And the energy was unbelievably good. It was so much love flowing everywhere. It was really remarkable to see. There was a lot of really well-known speakers came for the first time. I mean, Robert Cheek was there, Miyoko Shinra was there, and Joanne Kong and Colleen Patrick-Goudreau and myself and a few others. And it was just so many booths and all this stuff. And right beforehand, I thanked Greg for doing such a great job setting it up. And he said, yeah, that's great. Just don't say anything about vaccines, he said. And so I said, yeah, I said, I'm not planning to. And he said, you know, they told me when I said that I wanted to have you speak that that was not possible. The board of directors said, no, he's been banned. And so Greg told them, no, we're not banning people anymore, and we're getting out of this whole cancel culture in the vegan movement, which is really destroying it. It's so ridiculous. So it's really a breath of fresh air, and I really felt it was kind of like a renaissance or a rebirth of the Bay Area, at least the Bay Area vegan movement, which has been kind of in the doldrums. It's hard to get events going. So good. You know, it really takes people who are courageous to step up and say, no, I'm not going to go along with this divisiveness. And this divisiveness is so harmful. Thank you, Angel, for your good words and emojis. And it's kind of interesting. I was just reading today, actually. I'm reading a really pretty good book, actually. It's Aldous Huxley wrote a book called The Perennial Philosophy. And he really talks about all the different world religions and the foundational teachings and how they're basically in agreement at a deep level. And they're very profound. And he makes the point that the word for devil and diabolical, diabolos, it comes from, in fact, many words. They all come from the old root in Sanskrit and in Greek, di, which is means two. And so this whole idea of two-ness, of divisiveness, I mean, think about it, you know, divisiveness, there's many words that come from the word two. Diabolical is one, and there's a whole bunch of them. He gave a list, being two-faced, you know, so forth, deceptive, these so many words. So the whole idea, in a sense, is to allow our consciousness to rise to a higher level where we see the multiplicity, but we realize that there's a unity underlying everything. When that happens, I think our veganism goes to another level, and we're no longer going to be so likely to blame and shame and criticize other people and each other, and realize that in many ways the world that we're living in is a mirror of our own consciousness. So if I want to have a better world out there, I can do all I want to try to change other people, but usually it backfires and they resist even more. So by changing myself and my own consciousness, the mirror becomes a little more appealing. I remember when I was living in San Francisco at Kagyud Road in Kunshab, Tibetan Buddhist Meditation Center, and there was this really kind of a great little teaching where there was a person in our community who seemed to be pretty negative and was quite critical of other meditators and so forth. And we were having dinner with Lama Lodru at a restaurant, and she started doing it again, sort of like kind of gossiping about someone and saying bad things about them. And Lama Lodru said, if you are in the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you see dirt on the mirror, and it's not going to help if you try to clean off the dirt from the mirror. The dirt is on your own face, he said. And she didn't like that. He was very direct. Clean off the dirt off your own face, and then you won't see it in the mirror, you know. And I really feel that because, you know, in many ways, we get the leaders we deserve. And if we want to have better leaders, we want to have a better thing, you know, we got to become more compassionate. We want, like, kind, loving, wise leaders. Now, what are we doing? We're paying money to stab and abuse animals, and we're believing all the baloney that they said. Oh, and it was a great quote. I just wanted to share this also. I think it'll be, I'll share it later, but in the Tibetan tradition, credulity breeds credulity and ends in hypocrisy. Isn't that a great one? You know what credulity is? Credulity, like just believing whatever you're told. It just leads to more credulity, and it ends in hypocrisy, which is, I think, what we're seeing, a lot of that. So we are the only one, each one of us is an individual who can actually get our truth lie detector on. We can't depend on someone else. Who am I going to depend on to tell me the truth? Who? Like some guru? Maybe they're wrong. The news, the media, the doctors, whatever, you know, no. It's really up to us individually. That's what I think is such a powerful thing here, this earth. So, Elaine, you have your hand up. Would you like to make a comment or ask a question? Good to see you. Thanks for joining us from the California mountains.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I've never had the COVID vaccine. I had COVID twice. The coronavirus dies immediately after exposure to high temperature heat. So in 2020, I had COVID in my lungs. I used a hair blow dryer on my chest, and I cured myself in 2020. And then in 2022, I had it in my nose, and I used a vaporizer then to cure myself. So I'm certainly on the same page you are with those COVID vaccines. I've seen horror stories about them.
Right. Yeah, when we go down to Hippocrates Health Institute, which we'll be doing, actually, we'll be there next month, around the 22nd, there are people that come there just to try to heal their vaccine injuries. You know, terrible nephritis, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Their nerves are all... not working,
yeah.
Legs are hurting. I mean, there's so many things. Cancer, of course, turbo cancer.
Do you know about those two embalmers who've been complaining about those? Yeah, you know about that.
Well, yeah, there's been a number of embalmers, but there's been a couple in England over there who were really been sounding the alarm for years, saying when they open up these cadavers, you know, people that died, they have these long, gummy, white
fibrous protein.
Yeah, and they're dying from these clots that are very bizarre.
They had never seen this before until the vaccine.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, they're bioweapons, in my opinion, these vaccines, and their intention is to sicken humanity and probably reduce the population.
I've been banned from certain online places for mentioning that the coronavirus dies immediately after high temperature heat. I've been banned.
Yeah, I know. People want to be afraid. You know, they want to have.
I don't know. You know.
Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that, Elaine. That's good news. And Madeline and I, you know, we never had anything. I mean, I never got anything like that. I actually question whether the virus actually exists, because the test that they use, like if you go to and have a test done by a doctor or hospital or whatever, they use the PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction test, invented by what's his name, Corey. He's such a neat guy. And I read his autobiography, and he said you can never, ever, ever use this test to diagnose anything. If you just crank up the sample rate high enough, you can show anything in everybody. And so they were cranking the sample rates up to like way over 20, like 30, 35, 40 times, which basically you'll always find something. So it was really, in many ways, a pandemic of delusion. It was
I had it twice, and I can also, if you have to take action really fast to, you know, with the high temperature heat, and I mean fast, because otherwise the virus will do damage, and I cured myself very quickly.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else have something you'd like to contribute to our discussion here? It's always nice to hear from. We have lots of things happening in the world, too. I mean, we're trying on. It's really on the third Thursday that we focus more on those things. Yeah, we have a little more time. And, I want to say, let's see, is she still here? Judy, yeah. I just want to give a shout-out to Judy Carmen. She left this morning. I think, or maybe yesterday morning, for a month or two, living in her little van. So she's coming over to see us. She'll be at the Loving Hut in San Jose, I think, when we're there on Friday, a week from this coming Friday. So thanks, Judy, for joining us. Any other questions or comments? I can also, if there aren't any, I can do a reading from our. We love to do that. We got readings from our Dhammapada, which is kind of nice to go over. Andy, you have something? It's good to see
okay.
you.
Okay. Let me lower your hand. I wasn't sure. It's nice to hear just the vaccine question even brought up for this meeting, because I didn't know if it would, you know, how much we should discuss it or not. But was there a while back that I might have heard you mention that some person, and I don't know who, and I think you didn't mention, that was fully believing in the whole COVID stuff, but then they got vaccine injured, so they opened up to, you know, hearing the other side, but that they didn't want to expose who they were or something. What I'm trying to figure out is, I don't know if you remember who it is, but it would be so amazing if whoever it is was willing to talk about it. And I didn't know if, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just sort of crazy is that the whole thing, the fact that people cannot discuss it and refuse to discuss a whole health issue. And, I mean, the way veganism became, I believe, just more popularized was people were willing to start questioning what the official narrative was, and they started learning things separate from Big Pharma. And it is okay. I mean, I'm thrilled to hear that you were able to get welcomed at this event. But if I'm hearing you correct, that they said you could not discuss vaccines, is that correct? I mean, who would ban a health discussion? And that's what's happened to the world. And it's just, you know, to learn about veganism, everybody and every doctor and every individual, we wanted to learn every single thing possible, every aspect. And now suddenly there's a health aspect or a big pharma aspect, and no one wants to discuss it. The very fact that they just don't want to research it and don't want to question it. And I would love to bring that discussion back. But so it sounds like this. At this event, at least you were welcomed and other people were welcomed. But so I don't know. I'm just sort of asking maybe several things. Like when you went to this big event, first, I'm thrilled that you were so welcomed. And you mentioned other people, too. Do you have any idea, like the people that went there, you know, do you think they were sort of all anti-vax? Or do you think they, you know, were, or I mean, do you think they were all pro-vax or some, like, I don't know. So what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. That would have been funny if I just went in and then started talking about vaccines and they banned me again. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing that is so absurd is that vaccines are extremely damaging to animals. I mean, it's terrible. Yeah, it's like going to a veg fest and saying, well, you can talk about not eating meat, but don't say anything about not eating dairy. You know, we need dairy. You can't talk about that. You just talk about meat. And if you talk about dairy, you know, we're going to throw you out of here again for another 5 years. I mean, because they're tested on animals. They have animal cell lines that are in there. I mean, these animals, millions and millions of animals are killed and tortured for vaccines every year. So how can vegans be, like, mad that someone is questioning vaccines? And there's been so many studies that have come out recently, even more, showing that vaccines always harm children, vaccines in general. I don't know if you saw, I really recommend that. I have it in the resources. But this new documentary film by Del Bigtree, it's called An Inconvenient Study. It's about this huge study that was done at the By the Henry Ford Medical Establishment, which is gigantic. I think they have something like 33,000 employees. It's huge. And they did a big retrospective study on childhood vaccines. And it's a fascinating film because he goes, the main guy who conducted it is a very well-known, famous doctor who does these things, and he, who has also been very courageous in the past. He was the main one to fight against the Flint. Remember Flint, Michigan, their terrible water that was poisoning everyone? He was the one that fought against that, you know. And so they did this study, and Dell made him promise beforehand that if it showed, if this study shows that vaccines are harmful to children, that they do not help, that they make them more and more likely to be sick and miserable their entire lives, then you have to say so. And so they did the study, and lo and behold, it was like vaccinated children versus unvaccinated children, and the vaccinated children had 2, 3, 4 times the rates of all kinds of things, asthma, and I mean, it was really autism for sure. He will not speak about it, and they're trying to completely cover it up and bury it. And he says, if I say anything, I'll lose my job. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lose my job. And he said, I know I'm probably not a good person, but you know, it's just not worth it to me. I know if I do, what'll happen. So there's a tremendous amount of fear. That's all fears. It's a fear-based thing. Doctors are afraid. You know, if vegans are afraid, we're all tribal, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not afraid, but it's just sort of like, all right, if I speak up about it, I won't be able to speak anywhere. I mean, it's, you know, it's like ridiculous. I mean, it's like, do I want to pay that price? So I speak up anyway as best I can and try to push the envelope out so that it becomes more reputable. Like in my book, you know, the book Food for Freedom and the website. I mean, our Facebook groups have been shut down and all kinds of stuff. I've been canceled. YouTube threw me off twice. I mean, you know, we were back in the dark days. It was really, it was ridiculous. And, but I have to say, I don't think it's going to happen again if we don't wake up and really push back. They'll do it again. Why not? I mean, you know, it's, we have to really show that we're not going to go along with this, and we're going to question the Rockefeller medical model, which is based on maximizing sick people and poisoning people. It's all about poisoning people, and so that's why we're really proactive. And I wrote about it in my new book, World Peace Way, to eat organic and really clean water, clean air, exercise, be really proactive to be healthy, because we're being assaulted, you know, by those who make a lot of, not only money, it's not so much the money, they make a lot of money, and they can use that money to control the narratives and the doctors and everybody else, mm-hmm. but they really do it for power. And so it's the, you know, when you have people that are healthy and vibrant, you have people that will not be easily dominated and controlled and exploited, and who will question things. If you have people that are sick, and they have a hard time getting out of bed, and they're in chronic pain, and they're on medications, you have people that are so easy to dominate and exploit, and their kids, and they don't question. I mean, it's been a military-grade disinformation campaign going on for the last 5 years, probably for the last 10 years. And it was so great, actually, the other day to see the 60 Minutes. Remember 60 Minutes? How I remember, anyway. Back in 1980, 60 Minutes... did a whole thing on one of the drugs that was actually it was on DMSO. Have you ever heard of DMSO, anybody?
Yeah,
DMSO. Anyway, I never really thought much about it, but back in the 70s and early 80s, DMSO was sort of discovered and seemed to really help people with all kinds of problems. And they interviewed and they showed this woman who was in such chronic pain she couldn't even get out of bed for like a year and a half. I mean, it was just, and she started taking DMSO and having it rubbed on her and so forth, and she just, it healed her. She said, I mean, she just, everything went away, and many, and thousands of people this was happening to. And so good old 60 Minutes was grilling the FDA, like, why aren't you? Here's studies that show. Why aren't you doing your job? You know, and the media was really on it. They were on it. And that was before 1986, when we had the Vaccine Injury Act passed, which basically takes away all liability. And as I write in the Food for Freedom, there was only a few companies left that made vaccines. They all got out of it because vaccine companies were getting sued up the wazoo. They were getting sued everywhere. They couldn't make any money. And the vaccines would have been completely eliminated if they hadn't been given complete blanket immunity by the government. There wouldn't be any because they were just destroying everyone. And then when it was actually challenged in court later, I mean, they passed this Vaccine Injury Act, which took away all liability from the vaccine. So now they just started really ramping up the whole vaccine program because when you squirt all these toxic chemicals and animal cells into the veins of children, you guaranteed to have chronic disease and people be on, and that's what's happened. The rate of chronic disease has gone up from 6% up to 70% now in the last 50 years since I was a kid. And when that went to the Supreme Court, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, the legality of that to allow an industry to have no responsibility. And the Supreme Court upheld the law because they said, quote, vaccines are inherently unsafe. So we have to have a law, if we're going to do vaccines, we have to have a law to allow them not to be sued. And this thing, how is it possible that this is still happening? I guess that's my question. Like, I can't believe this is still happening. And people still say safe and effective, but it just goes to show that we, you know, credulity breeds credulity and leads to hypocrisy. You know, that's what it does. It leads to just nobody knowing what's true anymore and people being willing to lie about everything because they only care about themselves and don't care about others, really. I mean, that's what's underlying it, you know, unfortunately.
So, also,
we just have to question everything.
Yeah, I've experienced also, I have Medicare. And, you know, I don't go to doctors or hospitals, but they send me stuff all the time. They call me all the time. They're trying to get me to go in for wellness exams and tests and all this kind of stuff. And interestingly, they have come up with all kinds of vaccines for everything because they say, come and take a vaccine for this and a vaccine for that. And, you know, they just want to get you in there. And, of course, they're trying to wipe out the elderly along with, you know, so many others. And, you know, so as much as, like you mentioned, Del Bigtree and this thing, and I saw the promotion of that today, the new documentary he came out with, but I haven't seen that yet. And, you know, so all of the people coming out with all of this evidence, the problem is I don't think it's getting to the general public. I don't think it's reaching mainstream TV media because I still talk with so many people that believe in it and want to get their boosters. And, you know, it well, was, yeah. So
I think
like,
it is getting out, but it's, like more and more people, especially younger people, understand that the mainstream media is a joke. And it's mostly the older people that are still kind of believing it, I think, somewhat. But I think, you know, the main thing is to try to just, like you're doing, Andy, with all, you know, all your guerrilla marketing for freedom and veganism on your car and flyers posted all over the place and everything. You know, just spread the word. You just keep spreading it. I mean, you're a great example. People, you know, talk to friends and post it and just do what we can, you know, just to spread the word. And but couple that with a spiritual practice where we're living as best we can in a state of peace, inner peace, because that's what they want. They want us to be afraid and nervous and divided against each other. And so it's really important that we do that. So I just noticed that Tammy requested that we have a little reading. And so I was thinking, yeah, well, let's just do that. We haven't done that in so long. It's been like probably half a year or more. So is that okay with everyone? Just have I'll do a little reading here. This is chapter 18 of the Dhammapada. Right here, if you've seen it, it's a great translation, actually, by Gil Fronsdale. I'll just read a little bit of it, and we can maybe have a brief discussion. This chapter 18 is right along with what we're talking about. The title of chapter 18, I love this. This is 2,500 years old. The title is Corruption. You are now like a yellowed leaf. Yama's henchmen are standing by. Yama is the Lord of Death. You stand at the door of death with no provisions for the journey. Make an island for yourself. Be quick in making effort. Be wise. Unblemished, with corruption removed, you'll enter the divine realm of the noble ones. You are now at the end of life. You're headed for Yama's presence. With no resting place along the way, no provisions for the journey. Make an island for yourself. Be quick in making effort. Be wise. Unblemished, with corruption removed, you will experience birth and old age no more. As a smith does with silver, the wise person gradually, bit by bit, moment by moment, removes impurities from herself. As rust corrupts the very iron that formed it, so transgressions lead their door to states of woe. Oral teachings become corrupted when not recited. Homes are corrupted by inactivity. Sloth corrupts physical beauty. Negligence corrupts a guardian. Bad conduct is corruption in a person. Stinginess, corruption in a giver. Evil traits corrupt people in both this world and the next. More corrupt than these is ignorance, the greatest corruption. Having abandoned this corruption, monks remain corruption free. Okay, so again, thank you, Tammy, for that. I'm not sure if anybody has any questions, but I'll just maybe say a couple of words. He's basically emphasizing here that each one of us is our own best friend and worst enemy, right? When we make efforts to purify, like he says, like a smith does with silver, to remove gradually, bit by bit, moment by moment, the impurities within ourselves. And when we do our best to protect ourselves from corruption of like rust, and this is something I think that's so important to understand, that if we live, you know, like if I'm living in a way that my value and my worth are dependent on what other people think of me or what I can get and create in the outer world, then that is a foundation for corruption. Because I'll be then willing to do what it takes to get what I want and use things in the outer world. And what the Buddha is saying here very clearly is this is what we are called to remove bit by bit, moment by moment. So it's a practice of purification of our thoughts, words, and deeds so that when a thought comes in of anger or of judgment or whatever, to do our best to look beyond the outer surface to the being and see the being that is worthy of, that is love. I mean, beyond just the outer conditioned being. And then this underlying idea, which I think is missing in the West, but you've heard me repeat it before, that we really are served well, I think, by always being aware that when we die, we don't die. And we continue, what we are will always is consciousness, and we'll always have a vehicle. And so if the vehicle is here in the physical world, okay, but then it goes on to the next, the astral or whatever it is. We go on to other dimensions, and whatever we sow in this life, we reap. So this corruption, I think, that we see so... we were just talking about it, you know, in the medical system, the political system, economics, everywhere. There's sort of this underlying idea, well, if I can get away with it in this life, then that's great. I'll be rich and happy, and I got away with it in this life. That's that's a recipe for a real disaster. And in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, they say that we've been going around through birth and death. He talks about we will never enter birth and death again. That's called samsara. samsara is the cycle of births that goes on billions of times. That we've been every being we ever see has been our mother, and we've been their mother. So to try to cultivate this sense of compassion for everyone we see, because we've all been loved and been loving to each other in the past in a very unconditional way, and we can continue to do that now. And so this to me is the great good news, really, of the ancient wisdom teachings, that they cut through this corruption and the fear and the divisiveness and so forth. If we live our lives in alignment with them, our life has a solid foundation, no matter what the outer world thinks. And there's something very beautiful in being a being who helps to bring the ancient wisdom to the next generation. Because the worst thing really is if it dies out, if these books and these teachings are completely suppressed. So veganism is a manifestation of these ancient wisdom teachings, a very critically important one. And it's the unwillingness to contribute to the corruption of slaughterhouse workers and of animals and the abuse that we see throughout our society. So I'm really grateful for everyone who helps to bring these teachings into the world. And that last stanza, more corrupt than these is ignorance, the greatest corruption. Having abandoned this corruption, ignorance, remain corruption free. That's the key thing. That ignorance is the poison that gives rise to greed and anger and pride and everything else, because it's the delusion that we're this fundamentally separate self that is vulnerable. And so putting an end to ignorance really requires spiritual effort, quieting the mind and being able to connect with consciousness just that's beyond the usual endless dialogue and chatter that takes over our mind. Most of it is being influenced by the past and so forth. To be able to dwell in inner silence is really a wonderful thing, to work on that. And it's not easy. I mean, it's a practice that we can engage in, like playing the piano or any other practice. The more effort we put in, the better we get at it. And that's what I see veganism. Veganism is similar. It's a practice. And it's not just loving animals, it's loving all living beings. And being willing to question everything we think is true might not be true. And being willing to admit we're wrong. That's one of the wonderful things. You know, if we weren't willing to admit we were wrong, we'd all still be eating animal foods. So everyone on this call, all of you have been willing to admit you're wrong and make a change. And that's the foundation, really, I think, of a positive future. So we're at our limit here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Madeline is right here, and she's been diligently preparing. So we'll... and thanks, yeah, thanks all of you. I know some of you are joining us, and it's not that easy wherever you are to get on the call. There'll be other people who'll be listening to our recordings. Quite a few people listen to the recordings later, so we send our love to them too. So as you know, some of you maybe don't know, if you're new, at the very end we'd like to say our prayer that we say from the Prayer Circle for Animals. We say it every day at noon. It begins with the words compassion, and please... if you're so bold, you can unmute your microphones so we can all hear each other. And let's say this together. Usually we do it three times. There we go. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Great. Again. Compassion circles for all beings everywhere. And one more time with gusto. Compassion circles for all beings everywhere. Woo-hoo. Bless you all. Go forth and multiply this beautiful message and feeling into our world. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the next call. And we'll, right before we head off on our big Health and Harmony for All tour across the country. Much love to you all. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Madeline, love you.
Bye,
everyone.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.